Oh, you might be. Have you left the door open in case it's widened to something like financial services? That's something that's been put on the table. Is that something, if it happened on its own, that you could live with?
There's been discussions from, you know, other people make suggestions in the background about what if it was to apply to only areas where high income earners may be paying a little bit extra. So if there was such proposals and there was no other options, I might be willing to consider. But again, it's really too early to tell without any proposal being on the table.
Okay.
And it's not a direction I would like to go down. So if I was a government, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, there's a slight chance we'd be able to get into Ricky here. I wouldn't be reading into it like that at all.
Well, but I have read into it like that because you're saying, sorry, but I have. And there's a reason for that. You're saying maybe looking at some elements where it could be broadened, not necessarily, you know, just a blanket increase, could potentially be a good idea if framed in the right way.
If framed the right way, I'll definitely look forward to rigorous debate around how it may actually play out.
On RN Drive, my guest is Senator Ricky Muir. He's from the Australian Motoring Enthusiasts Party, a senator for Victoria. Our number here, 0418 226 576. What do you think of these ideas? If the GST's just increase for financial services, is that something you could live with? 0418 226 576. On family tax benefits, where your vote is crucial, Labor will oppose the government's proposed changes to family tax benefits, other than ending family tax benefit B payments for couples with 13-year-old children. Is there crossbench support for any of the other changes? What is your view?
Within the crossbench, I definitely can't speak on behalf of my colleagues, and my personal view is I was always sitting on the side of caution, very much in this area. You know, there's been a lot of focus on single parent families, also single income families in rural areas. I have concerns about, and I think by the time we start stripping all this money back, we might be leaving a lot of people a lot worse off than what we may be thinking. And Labor's proposal, I think, is probably by far the lightest approach. So whether the government decides to strip the bill, or split the bill, sorry, so they can get at least that part of the measure through, is something that we'll see. And I suspect that may be a path I'll consider going down. I don't think there's much hope in getting the rest of the reform through.
What do you make of the plan for $1,000 going to families with babies under one?
I see why, and I understand the merit in that, but I also know, having older children myself, they certainly don't get any younger as they get older, and once we get to that 13-year-old age bracket, that's an area where I think, you know, if that money was to go to below ones, children below 1 year old, perhaps it could be moved into that area, but it's also complex and complicated, and it's going to affect so many people, it become very hard to support, really.
So you'd like the government to split the bill. What would you support then? Your instinct to oppose it?
My instinct is to oppose it. That's a very good way to put it.
And you've raised this, told the government? I mean, I'm imagining they're trying
to
woo you.
Yes, the government do know that I'm not overly convinced in this area.
On terror laws, Labor is waiting for a briefing on the government's bill to strip citizenship from dual nationals who engage in terrorism. Has the government engaged with you on this at all?
I'm going to have a briefing about this very soon. I can't remember if it was this week or in the next sitting, but I have had conversations with the government, and we're going to indulge into a further briefing so I can get more over.
Okay, but instinctively, what's your view about applying control orders to 14-year-olds?
Oh, I think it was one of the law councils had come forward saying this is a very an area of law where we have to be very cautious because we are speaking about minors. Of course, we're speaking about minors who may be thinking about committing a very serious crime. So I can see merit in why the conversation is being had, but we must make sure that we apply all appropriate law and don't step outside the boundaries of common law.
Now, you're on Kitchen Cabinet with Annabelle Crabb tonight on ABC TV. One of the things you talk about is your change of heart over same-sex marriage. I think the thing that's been quoted, and I'm looking forward to seeing it tonight, is this question of if you had a gay son, how would you feel?
This was actually years ago that my mind changed. As a into my late teens and early 20s, I had a very staunch opposition. And my wife and I were actually having a conversation, a bit of a debate one day in relation to not so much marriage equality, but homosexuality in general. And the question that she put to me, so it wasn't an argument. I saw that getting around on social media today. It was never an argument. It was just a bit of a debate. But she put to me, what would you do if it turns out that our son was gay? And in the heat of the moment, I just spat out that I'd disown him. And it was in that moment I thought, that's really not the right thing to say. That's not true. I'd never do that. And the look on her face was disgust, sheer horror. And I thought, you actually raised a very good point. So I'm basing my views on the lies of others, how I treat other people, on nothing more than a belief that I had when I was younger, and that I really need to treat people as equal and really consider their feelings, their emotions. You know, we can touch, feel, smell, and
you
care
saw
about
her,
those people.
You saw her look. Did that change your mind, just looking at her facial
almost
expression?
Almost in an instant. Almost in an instant. I was speaking about my own son. So it was never a serious comment, like I would really disown him, but that's the words that came out. And I thought, that's terrible. How can, you know, we can't be judging people in this way.
And now you've moved to actually support same-sex marriage. I'm imagining at that time, even after she framed that question to you, as you say, it wasn't about that yet. When did that journey happen?
That progressed. As I, throughout my life, I've met people from same-sex relationships, and conversations have popped up with friends just at barbecues who are completely heterosexual. And the more I started debating or having these conversations with other people, the more I realised that we should be treating people as equals. And my view just progressively changed. So it was never about lobbying once I was in politics. It was always about just weighing things up against real-life scenarios in an earlier life.
And just finally, Charles and Camilla are in Canberra on the 40th anniversary of the dismissal. Are you a Republican or a monarchist?
I'm an independent.
What do you want? Would you like the Queen to be our head of state, or potentially Prince Charles to become our head of state, or would you like to see a republic?
At the moment, the monarchy has been working all right for us. There's always room for debate about why we should look at changing, but
so you're not convinced. You're not convinced.
I am absolutely not convinced that we should actually change. No.
What? Because you think the system's not broken?
Well, there just needs to be a very, very. If we're going to go changing, well, Australia's modern history, I think it needs to be a very, very strong case put forward.
So you're comfortable with one day Prince Charles, who's visiting, becoming our head of state, becoming the king of effectively of Australia too?
Oh, it does seem a little bit odd, doesn't it? So happy to hear debate.
All right, but you're still not decided. So, but you sound like you could be swayed. I'm sure the Republican movement and the monarchists will both be onto you. Senator, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And that's Ricky Muir, the Australian Motoring Enthusiast Party's Senator for Victoria. And you can find out what he cooks for Annabelle Crabb on Kitchen Cabinet tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC TV, or, of course, later on iView, which is what I do because my kids never go to sleep in time.